Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our opinion, our opinion, our opinion.
If you really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seeds. We gotta grow as a people, 'cause wisdom and knowledge is equal, and all we need to learn to do is spread our wings like eagles. Now, let's talk truth, let's talk truth, let's talk truth. Lord, sit down to talk truth, but the rest is on you.
Let's talk truth, let's talk truth.
Good evening, everyone. We're here tonight with another dynamic show, and we do hope that it is an informative show for you, also a thought-provoking show. And I always put this disclaimer out there before we start the show. We're not trying to preach to anyone. I'm sure all of you have your various pastors, teachers, or whatever, but this show is called Let's Talk Truth, so we would not be in the position we're in if truth was did not line up with the Word of God. It doesn't matter what we feel, how we feel. We have to surround ourselves with God's truth. I want to welcome everyone on board tonight. I want to welcome everybody in the studio. I want to first say greetings to my co-host, Kay DeWitt. And tonight we have a special guest that's going to grace us with her presence and her knowledge in the Word of God. And her name is Barb. Now, Barb is a powerful woman of God, and she does in-depth work within the body of Christ. In fact, she's an advocate for the elderly or the older people. And she's also deals mainly with our leaders in the church. And this is what we need, accountability in the church. And she does quite a bit of work helping out in that aspect. So we're going to see what she has to say to us this evening. Our topic today is the mystery of suffering. No one wants to suffer. And Webster defines suffering as the bearing of pain or distress, and that has become the norm for the majority of the people in the world today. Suffering is one thing that everybody experiences in life but doesn't feel, and it doesn't feel good. No one wants to suffer. No one wants to go through anything. We want everything to be roses, and we're going to try to shed some light because the mystery of suffering. I'm going to ask the question, is there a silver lining in the art of suffering? So Barb is going to bring us her expertise in that area and try to help us understand why we suffer and what the mystery is to it. Because in our day-to-day living, we all suffer. Are there rewards for our suffering? So we're going to get into that, and hopefully everyone will just express themselves, be openly available to discuss anything that you think might bring some healing in the hearts of people that's suffering at the moment. So let's start it off. We're going to start it off. Barb, since you're our special guest, why don't you start tonight off and give us your take on the mystery of suffering. Get us going on that.
Hi, okay. Do you mind if I open with prayer? Especially prayer for me in this. Okay.
Yes.
Father,
mm-hmm.
I come before you, and I ask now that your Holy Spirit would fall upon us. And Father, if this be your call for this time, that anyone who hears these words would be touched by your Spirit. That, Father, you would open up their eyes of understanding and they can see why they've had to go through what they're going through. And, Father, when there's a purpose to suffering, when we know it's not being wasted, it makes it bearable. It's only, Father, when we can't see any purpose and we just feel that we're being torn apart, torn to shreds, our heart is being pulled out, that we know such despair and even anger towards God. And we ask the question, why? So, Father, I ask that the Spirit would fall and that as I have learned through all my suffering, that I can impart with your Spirit some of what I have learned that has been used in my life. I just thank you and praise you. Amen. I'd like to begin by saying to people, there was a time on this earth when there was no suffering.
Mm-hmm.
When Adam and Eve walked in the garden and had perfect communication with God and were led by their spirits, there was nothing but love, perfect love.
Mm-hmm.
And in that love relationship with God and with one another, they were totally fulfilled. There was no void, no vacuum, no hungers, no physical pain, which has been my sister's area of suffering. Then something happened, terrible happened, that when they disobeyed God and they were thrown out of that garden, the communication with God was broken. And with that spirit part of them dead, we must understand that we're spirit. I'll get into that a little bit, soul and body. But the point is, with that spirit part of theirs darkened, they now had no communication with God, and there was a terrible void left inside, a terrible
mm-hmm.
hunger. And that hunger we don't realize, because when we're in touch with ourselves, we know we have it. I'll call it a hunger to be loved. I'll call it a God hole if you want. But
mm-hmm.
we tend to turn to human beings, and it never works. For all of
mm-hmm.
those of you out there who have gone from one relationship to another and ended up still broken and hungry, it's because we're trying to fulfill a hunger that only God can fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
But something else happened in that fall. Communication between man and woman, and I will even say from woman to woman and man to man, was broken. Because
mm-hmm.
that soul part, the mind, the will, and the emotions took off on their own, and suddenly, now we were our own bosses. And that was the lead to our destruction, because in taking control of our life away from the hands of God, His love flowing through us was lost. And we were reduced down to our basic form of living, where were we to get our self-worth from? Where will we be fulfilled? We turned to one another. That didn't work. We had our ambitions. We looked for recognition out in the world. People, that doesn't work. all the ways we have tried to fill that love hunger does not work. And the end result is suffering. I was, I've told you the story, and I won't go into it. From the day I was born, I think I knew suffering because I lost my identical twin sister. And all my life I have felt the pain of that loss. It worked its way out in different ways. But what happened now is we turn to one another for our love needs to be met. We put expectations on one another. We look to one another to fulfill us in our image of our, in our identity. And we found out that it doesn't work. Life doesn't work that way. So we also had another problem, and that is our minds in the fall have become darkened. So that much of our suffering, believe it or not, is determined by the way we think. And it's our attitudes that, and how we see ourselves. This is all the thinking that comes from ourselves rather than God that has greatly affected us. So there is a scripture that we have to look at, a very important scripture. I'm going to tell you, and then I'll work into it, what is the hidden blessing? What is the meaning behind suffering? What is the gem? And I am telling you that it is only through suffering that we change. Now, that's a dangerous thing because we can change for the better or we can change for the worse. They say there's a saying out there, the same sun that melts the wax also hardens the clay. What does that mean? It means that suffering can either soften our hearts, bring us closer to God, bring us to the end of ourselves, to a place where we see that we have to give control of our life to someone else, be it God, and that someone, of course, is God, because we are our own worst enemy, or else our heart gets hard. And all the suffering you see, so much of it is because we have a bunch of hardened hearts out there. People are suffering. Their love needs are not being met. They've lost God. In our culture today, we've lost God. So we don't even have what the pilgrims have. The family structure has broken down. As this family structure has broken down, what have we lost? We've lost the truth of love, the truth of the Father. We've lost the picture of Father God. We have known abuse. We've known rejection. Anger has increased, and we've been with the butt of that anger, and do you know what the end result is? Is that now we get hard if we don't let God do a work of breaking us.
Let me interject something here.
Absolutely.
Because it's really kind of burning based on what you're saying. From what you're saying, we have two different kinds of suffering. Suffering that we put ourselves in without God, and then the suffering that God allows for us to grow. You know, this is what I get from what you're saying. So,
yes, but suffering is still suffering.
Yes, it is, but we handle it differently. I know when I got saved when I met God for myself, personal Savior, when I was 33 years old. Don't ask me how I know this. I'm only 25 now. But anyway, I was 33 years old when I received Christ as my personal Savior and became began a relationship with him. But before then, I went from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And just like you said, there's no peace in you when you're suffering on your own hard-headedness. You can't find any peace. right now I'm going through something. It's suffering, but I have peace in it because God is allowing it to happen so that it can move me to a certain level in Him. So I was thinking about that as you were talking. God allows the suffering outside of Him to get the attention. Then He allows it inside of Him to accomplish His purpose. So that's, you know, and this is something we have to help people to understand. I didn't know why I was suffering. I didn't know that I could call on God. And this is where our spiritual leaders, our leaders in the body of Christ, we've got to get out there and beat those bushes and show everybody out there that there's a light of love that God has, because I didn't know that. So I went through a lot of stuff that I didn't know and didn't have to go through, but I went through it because I didn't know any better. And mostly people who are hurting, you brought up something a minute ago about what people go through. People hurt, so they suffer needlessly because we're hurting and we're reaching for something else. Look at them. You can go and see any young lady that's been molested when they were little. They end up being promiscuous, just sleeping around with everybody. They're hurting inside, so they're trying to fill that void. They're trying to show, trying to find some way to have peace with what they've been through, and only God can bring that peace. So that, you know, to me, that's a mystery. God says, if you can't suffer with me, you can't reign with me. He suffered, you know. So I thank God for you bringing everything out that you're bringing out, because you're making me really think about, you know, where I am, where I'm going. And I hope that some of the other people that listens or will be listening to this broadcast, I hope it'll do the same thing for them. Okay, now you can have it back.
And the hard part, too, about tonight is that we're all at different stages. And there are the babies that come into the church. And then there mm-hmm. are those who have begun to move from the milk, which I'm referring to a baby, to the meat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Paul's big cry in the Bible is that the church has not moved from the milk to the meat. Now, when I'm talking specifically about me, I'm talking about the suffering I have undergone since being a Christian. And there is a difference, which is why I want to get to a certain scripture. When mm-hmm. you're not saved and you come to the Lord as you did, there's a wonderful peace, and there's a knowledge that, hey, I'm loved and I'm forgiven. And if we're open to it, we even come to see, as I've always said, we're our own worst enemies. And that is the beginning of our walk. But there is mm-hmm. another suffering that comes in as we mature as Christians, and it's probably one of the most misunderstood sufferings in the church, because you will hear someone say to an older, mature Christian, gee, you must be sinning, like Job. You must be sinning. You must have done this. You must have done that, because look what's happening to you. But there mm-hmm. is something in the Word that we generally neglect. And if there are babies listening to this, I want to tell you, don't worry about this part of the Word. God does not bring you into this until we are ready. It's the suffering that you can find in 2 Corinthians. I just want to read this, 4:10-11. And I mm-hmm. am going into this depth because the church is probably going to be headed for some rough times ahead. And the mm-hmm. suffering and persecution that we will probably have to face is such that they are going to have to understand a preparation that God would do in their life now. And when I read that, I will explain it. It says, for we who live are constantly experiencing being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be evidenced through our flesh, which is liable to death. Now, when I first had these verses, of course, it scared me, because I realized in my reading that when you became a Christian, God takes you on a journey, and that journey is through what we call the wilderness, and you're headed for the Jordan, which is the cross in our life. Mm-hmm. And this is a teaching that comes to those, an experience that comes to those who have walked with the Lord, know the Lord, have surrendered themselves totally to the Lord, and now the Lord does want to do a further work in their life. And the life that God wants to do is that they may know the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, we don't see a lot of this in the church, because many Christians don't even get near that place. In the Bible, they describe it as the Jordan River, and you know, the Israelites did nothing but complaining and griping and shaking their fists at God and being disobedient. And that's where most of us stay. And the trials there are different. And there does need to be a growing in that wilderness of trust, so that we can bring our will surrendered to God. But if we want to become all that God intends us to be, there is a place in our life where we have gone through the grumbling and the complaining. We've grown in trust with the Lord, so that we know that there's nothing that touches us that isn't by his permission, and that he will take this and he will turn it to his purpose in our life to change us. And the way he wants to change us, he wants to bring us into a power of resurrection. He wants to renew our mind. He wants to give us a different perspective. And this only comes through the allowing of God that our flesh be crucified. And for those who come into the church like me, who need emotional healing, I am afraid that when there are certain scars, certain wrong ways of thinking from the past, coming into the church is only an initial process. The final healing only comes after crisis, after crisis, after crisis. And in each crisis, we learn to surrender to the Lord, and we learn to ask God the most important question in suffering. Lord, what is it that you're getting at in my life? Where do you want me to change? What do you want me to see, correct, give to you, whatever, in this crisis? And that in is where we lay it down to the Lord, and we know as we die to that thing, like I have a pattern of attaching to people. Should I say that one person, my love of my life? And the pattern is always the same. I attach, they fall in love with me, and I get rejected. I've said this a million times. And it has taken many, many rejections for God to show me, Barbara, you're not healthy. You attach. You have a need to have someone in your life, because, Barbara, you can't walk just with you and me. You have a dependency problem, and I am not going to let you have that love until I have become sufficient to you that God is enough. Now, do you know how many times I have to go through until I learn that lesson? I have to go through crisis and crisis. Have I learned it after this last one a year ago? Let's put it this way. Right now, he hasn't given me anyone to turn to. I was alone for Thanksgiving, no family up here and so on. I said, God, this Thanksgiving is yours. If you want me to spend it alone, I'll spend it by myself. If you want to give me someone, as it turned out, my church had a person who was inviting people to come by, so I didn't have to spend it alone. But the choice was God's, not mine anymore. And I suffered terribly from loneliness. And from, I just want to curl into a little nest with someone. Anyone out there know what this is like? I say I'm an amniotic. I won't go into what that word means. I just want to curl into the nest and have a person all to myself. And I really wouldn't go out in the world if I had my choice, as long as I could have my love with me. But chances are my love is healthy and wants to go out and do things. And then here's Barbara, you know, feeling either left behind or jealous or whatever. That's taken a tremendous amount of suffering. And each time I learn to let God come in a little bit more to my life, depend a little bit less on someone else, learn to drop some of my expectations, and learn to drop my control, because someone who feels very vulnerable like I do wants the control. You people who are control freaks out there, you know why? It's because you're so fragile and you're so vulnerable that you have to control the situation so you don't get hurt. Am I right?
Exactly.
Amen.
I used to be one of those control people. And I had to control my space. Because I can't let you get past this line. This is the line that I've drawn. You cannot come any closer to me, because if you get to know who I am, you will hurt me. And
absolutely.
I went through that. And when I first went to the church, have you ever been in a church where everybody was against you? I mean, everybody. I mean, everybody. The pastor, his wife. That's the church I got saved in. And I would leave there every Sunday crying all the way
home.
Saying to myself, I will never go back there again, not ever. And that evening, when it was time for evening service, I was getting dressed to go back. But that was the Lord sending me back, because he had to make me mature.
See the suffering you had to go through?
Yes. I'm telling you, I went through something, and the very lady that invited me to that church was the one that would throw me under the bus when I didn't even know I was under the bus. And she did a number on me. And I was doing, you know, God had given me a little bit of talent. You know, I was accounting, can do different stuff, so I would work in the church, helping do this and helping do that, and she would go behind my back and lie to the pastor, and he would chew me out. And he would say, "Did you do so and so and so to sister so and so and so?" And I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." But I did that until God matured me enough that you could step on my toe with your stilettos and I would go right on just like you didn't do them. I would say, "Praise the Lord, sister."
You did it until you had suffered enough, too.
God, you know, I really did. I went through something, man. Some of the men at the church would tell me, they called me Sister Lois. Sister Lois, you remind me of a rabbit. Every time you stick your head up, somebody shoots at you.
See, we can laugh at the suffering now, but not when it. But now, and now you can even go back and see what God was working on. But at the time, when we're in the hole, we can't see the. We can't understand. Can I quickly mention Joseph? I identify a lot with Joseph. Joseph was a person, and he in the Bible, Joseph was, for all intents and purposes, if I use the word holy, I'll use the word a man of God, but because he was visionary, he had a mouth on him. I have this problem. God shows me things, and what's the first thing I want to do? I want to go tell people. And what did Joseph do? His brothers didn't want to hear that they were going to bow down to him one day. Joseph had to be thrown into the pit. And he was thrown into the pit enough times it took for God to raise a man in the end that was so humble that when he saw his brothers, all he could do was hug them and forgive them and love them. because mm-hmm. Joseph wasn't what you call a very sinful man, but because God had a purpose for his life, he needed to be fine-tuned. So
mm-hmm.
I don't want people who are Christians, and especially if they've been Christians a while, who see or are going through one crisis after another saying, I must be a horrible person. God must be punishing me. God is refining you. God
exactly.
is leading you to that Jordan River so that he can raise you as a Joseph. And the same thing is true of Moses. Moses got thrown in the wilderness.
If we don't suffer and get that thick skin, anything can come along. You can come along and stick me with a toothpick and I'll faint. You know what I'm saying? We have to be strong enough where we won't faint in the face of adversity.
That's
because
right.
That's exactly what he's trying to get out of us. Because you know what? When I came to the Lord, I was so disappointed because you know what? I thought that once I said, God, lead me and be my personal savior, God, I thought everything was just going to be roses and bonbons.
There are the expectations I talked about.
I thought nothing was going to happen bad to me again. And man, you talk about, I was hit between the eyes.
But isn't that true when we get married? We have all these expectations. It's going to be wonderful, all the honeymoon. And then what happens? Reality hits, and our expectations, we get hit between the eyes, and that's often when we quit. That's when we turn on our mates or we run or we're... because we're not prepared for better or worse. And that's what you were talking about with the Lord. You weren't prepared for what thy will be done. You had your own set of ideas as to how things were going to work out. God can't allow that.
Mm-hmm. I used to, and when I've had two husbands.
I've done pretty well there.
You know, my first husband, I was not saved, but he was so handsome, and he did all of these things for me. And, sister, I was one selfish child because I was raised that what was mine, and no man, I would never share a dime of my money with you. I don't care if we are married. You will not take my check to the bank. I will take my own check. That's why I don't have nothing now. But anyway, so I didn't share. I don't care how much money I made. I talk to my ex-husband periodically now, and he says, I never knew when you got a check or how much money you made. And I never bought him a birthday card. A shirt, a nothing. But I spent my money and his money on me. How selfish is that? Now you wonder why I got a divorce, huh? Then my next husband, I did some of the things that I didn't do. You know, I did iron a couple of shirts for him and cooked. But he never got all of what I had. You know, and one day, and this has just been about a year ago, and I've been divorced since 95. The Holy Spirit said, baby, you've never loved a man in your life.
I can relate. Yes. The same thing.
Horrible.
Yes. And then the crying
horrible.
because you realize you blew it. Yes, at least on
and
my
let me
part.
Say
yes.
This to you.
Yes.
You know, Romans 8:28. Remember this now, for we know all things work together for good to them that love God and those called according to his purpose. I may not have loved them. And he said to me, if you've never loved a man, no man has ever loved you. Now, that's when I sounded like Scooby Doo. I don't know if y'all know who Scooby Doo is, but I have grandbabies.
Yes.
Listen.
My sister has often said to me, I was going to say, my sister's often said to me that with all the mistakes I made, she thought that if God had ever given me a man that really loved me, I would have grown. But I never had a man that really loved me either. Yes.
Amen.
Because mm-hmm. you know what? You never really loved them.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So I can relate to what you're saying because I've been there. But you know what? When God was ministering to me in that manner, He tore down every wall. Girl, I had some big walls built. I could put a wall up between the walls I had could have saved us from Mexico or whatever they're trying to build those walls. I had some walls up. Do you hear me? Now, God had to tear those walls back because you know what He let me understand? Girl, love is sharing.
Yeah.
Every piece of you. You don't hide anything. There's nothing yours. It's ours. There is no 50%, Lois. It's 100%. You give 100% of what I anything.
Well,
we suffer. And remember that scripture now. Even though we suffered, even though we weren't doing everything, those were not our husbands anyway.
Absolutely. And can I say a word about walls, being one here that knows about walls? We have most people, we have walls up for different reasons. I have found the greatest reason, but this is not my reason, is people feel if you knew me, I let my walls down, you knew me, you wouldn't love me, and if I let my walls down, I become vulnerable to you, and you can hurt me, but if you really knew me, you're going to reject me, so I'm not going to give you the chance to reject you. I'm going to keep those walls up. But my sister, I was trying to explain to her last night that because she says, well, agape bypasses that. No, I have a human love, too, and I am still... For those out there who can relate to this particular wounding, and it has to do with this idea that attachment. My sister is a very independent little soul, and I don't give her the emotional needs or whatever it is she wants from me because she doesn't understand that when I start to get close to her in the way maybe she would like, it's a very dangerous situation for me because my sister, in a moment's notice, can go here and there. She's got this passion, and she's involved in this ministry and that ministry, and I'm not ready to share her. If I was to get close, give her that area, God has to come in and somehow shore up that area of vulnerability that would want her to stay at home with me and be with me and do things with me rather than go off with other people and so on. So by putting up a wall, which is a little bit of a distance between her and me, I don't let that dependency grow. Or the other problem, the reason why I cut down, keep up the wall, is because you know she's not well physically. And I can't let myself be too vulnerable, or if something should happen to her, God forbid, and look, it may end up that I'm the first one to go. I couldn't handle it with my dependency issues. So by keeping that wall up and a little bit of separation between us, I don't, you know, when she does things with her health so bad, I fall apart. I would fall apart if I was totally vulnerable. She goes into the schools where the kids are. Do you understand? She's got a heart problem. She can't walk, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I have to keep that wall up until God has allowed me to be strong enough with Him that I can take the consequences if there's a loss there. Can you relate to what I'm saying?
I can relate.
Are you there?
Because
you're an independent little soul. You're also an independent woman. So you may not know this, but I'm trying to tell you.
Yes, I can relate to you. I don't agree with you, but I can relate. Now, when I say I don't agree, I believe that if we trust God totally, we know that we can overcome anything, and we have to be, let's see, what word do I want to use? We have to have confidence in who we are. And when I say that, I'm strong enough. I have a sister who's kind of like you, but she's getting past that because we talk every day. And God has fixed it, so she has to love me, but understand she can stand by herself. And I think that's what you're missing the point.
Yes,
you're missing.
And your sister has been wounded some way, yes.
Yes. But yeah, she has. But I've always been the outgoing person, and she has been the introvert.
Right, you got
it. Okay, she's the introvert. But she has to understand that if everything was wiped from around her, God is going to make her stand. You know, there were times I used to pray and ask God that if my mother died, let me die with her so I would not have to miss her. I didn't want to live when she was gone. But once you allow Christ to come into your heart and know and to put down everything, I did my mother's eulogy. I did her eulogy, and I did it because I wanted her to know that I loved her and that I was proud of her. And like your sister, you grasp your sister and hug her and love her. And if she has to go to Canada, you said, I can't go to Canada with you, but I'm going to send love and prayer with you because I want you to go there and do what God has called you to do. And I'm going to be here on the home front praying for you. Those are the things we have to learn to do for each other.
And you're right. You're talking about the resurrection power and the agape that takes up the human love. But right now, I'm not quite there. This is why he has me in this wilderness. I'm living up in the mountains of the Adirondacks all by myself because this is the lessons that I'm undergoing now. I'm getting there. But it's a process.
Okay.
I'll tell you, if you know the things that are called upon me to do that I never thought I could do, I won't go into the details, but I've been put into situations where I don't have a clue what I'm doing, and he's teaching me that. But I'm not there yet. I'm closer, but I'm not there yet.
You will be. You'll be there. You're going to get there.
Amen.
As long as we hang in with God, right, and let everything that he brings into our life that causes us pain, turn it over to him. Now, the relationship with Jim brought me a lot closer because I depend upon Jim for everything, and all of a sudden, here I am, snow on the car, dig yourself out, Barbara. You're up in the mountains, tough with you to find your way out. Get your driveway clear, get under the tractor. If you have to get under the tractor to see what's wrong, you mow acres yourself. And you see, but I could do it. But I didn't think I could do it. I wouldn't have been ready for this 5 years ago. I have to tell you, his timing is perfect.
It's perfect. And you know, his timing becomes perfect when we're ready.
Yes.
When we're ready. When we tell God, okay, God, I'm ready. And he'll tell you if you're not ready. He'll say, no, you're not. You know, you got to go through this just a little bit longer. But I tell people every day, when you come to the Lord, all I want you to bring with you is your desire to be with him. He'll do it.
And
Amen.
And babies are given the milk. That's why I have to differentiate. When you're a baby Christian, you're not ready yet for the meat. His timing is perfect, and when he knows that you've matured far enough, then he'll bring in the trials that may be a little bit harder for you. But when you're a baby, you just need to learn that he loves you and that you can trust him. That's the baby lesson.
You know, you're absolutely right, but I think God started me on meat. I don't know how he made me do it, but he started me on meat.
You must have been strong enough in your own way.
I can tell you some things I went through and had to be me. There's no way God would give me a bottle. He would not give me a bottle with all that. That was neat in that bottle. I had to chew it and swallow it.
He knows what we can handle. Yes.
Yes. I look back on it now, and all of the people that called me that pain, they now call me, you know, I just called you. Oh, would you pray for me? Would you do it? Sure. You know, and that's one thing I tell everybody. You can always tell when you've forgiven. If you talk about a situation that makes you angry still, you haven't forgiven.
No.
You talk about a situation and it makes you cry and hurt, you haven't forgiven. But if you can talk about a situation and get joy from it, then you've truly forgiven. So that's
well,
what I had to learn.
Can I add a little something in there about that?
Yes,
if I there's two steps in here. I often have people think of Jesus on the cross. He did it in two steps. The first step was, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. But he remained on that cross a little bit longer before he died. And the reason I'm saying is there is a two separate processes because I know for a fact that I have forgiven in this past relationship. There's no anger. Mm-hmm. There's no animosity. But I haven't quite died yet. I haven't quite let go of the good memories. I haven't quite gotten to the point where I can wish him all the blessings in his new marriage. And that will come with death and resurrection. So I do think there is a brief period in between. There was with Jesus, between the forgiveness and the dying. So I will say to people, if you don't have any ill feelings towards a person, if you don't have any animosity, if you don't want to see them go in a not-so-nice place, you know your heart is soft, you've forgiven, but you don't have the resurrection power yet to wish them the best. And wishing someone the best is resurrection power.
Yes, that's true. When the lady that broke up my marriage, she's still married to my ex-husband.
I have that too.
When I came to Christ and made him Lord over my life, I scared the mess out of her because I called her. And I told her, I said, I just wanted you to ask you to forgive me. She said, for what? I said, for the time that I beat you up and, you know, all the bad name. And I said, I want to just pray God's blessing over you and your husband. I pray that your marriage go forever and ever and that you're all to each other you're supposed to be. That scared her, but I had to do that for me.
Right.
And right now, if she'll say hello and I'll say hi, you know, I don't hold anything against her, not nothing. And then the lady that I came in my living room and called her undressed with my second husband. Oh, I pray for her every day. She'll call me and ask me for prayer. I don't hold anything against her. I just feel like they missed out on me. You know, those two men, they weren't for me. God got something so much better. And I told God, I said, if you decide for me to be married again, I know that you have that powerful man for me.
Yes.
I said, but if you desire for me to be single the rest of my life, that's what I'll do. I said, I'll do just what you want. But I will not give anybody the satisfaction of being angry with them. You won't control me like that.
Amen.
I will not let you control me. So whatever you do to me, just make sure that you know the scripture. He says, whatsoever you do unto my least one, you've done it unto me. So I have to just let God handle that. I'm going to love you regardless.
For those who we're using a term here that unfortunately they don't teach enough in some of the churches, and when we're talking about to anyone out there, if they're listening, about the cross in our life or dying to self, mm-hmm. these are terms that people can say, what are they talking about? I would just try to help people to understand that when we come to the Lord, we still have our own will and our own desires. And mm-hmm. there comes a point in our life where God asks us to say, Lord, your will be done, not mine. And that, and what you want for my life, that is what we call dying to self or having the cross in our life. In other words, Jesus died on that cross. He gave up his life for what God would have. And God is asking us to give up our life in terms of our own will and our own, not that we don't have a will, but he wants our will and his will. And just be able to rest and know that God knows what's best and let him do it. And in order to get mm-hmm. to that point, we usually have to become quite weak in ourselves. And that's another thing I wanted to say. God, in our suffering, is bringing us to a place where we're so weak, physically, mm-hmm. emotionally, everything. We can't lift. We can't do any of these things. Then we're finally willing to say, God, you got to do it because I can't do it. And now God says, aha, now I have you at the point where my power, not your power, operates through mm-hmm. me. And this is what we call the resurrection life. For those of you who haven't heard this terminology before.
Mm-hmm. And I want to give you a little analogy that will help them understand it. Have you ever seen a child, a young child who think they know everything and they know how to get out of that, you know, get those shoes tied? Teaching a child how to tie their shoes. And once you teach them how to tie them, and, oh, they can do it. I got it. They don't touch you and say, Mommy, until that shoe is in such a knot. When they get that shoestring in a knot that they can't, you can't get out of it. You know? Then they got to call on, Mommy,
Right. Right.
That's how we are with God.
Exactly.
We get our lives in a knot. And then here we go, Lord, help me, please. Would you please?
Yeah.
I don't know why they got so angry at me. I don't know why she threw that at me. Yes, you do.
God does that not thing, especially for people who have ambition. When you come and you're saved, mm-hmm. someone, this person who has a lot of ambition, you know what he's going to do? He's going to give you what you want for a while. And then he's going to let
mm-hmm.
it all go sour. And when it all
mm-hmm.
goes sour, you finally turn to him and say, I can't do it, Lord. And that's when he says, I've been waiting. Yes.
And that's called permissive will versus perfect will. God's perfect will for us is one thing. But that permissive will, have you ever just told your mom, are you? I want to go to this party, I want to go. No, you can't go. Oh, please let me go. You go ahead. But if you do one thing, you know, and then we go and we get in a truck, can you come pick me up and put me out over here? That's permissive will. Parents don't want you to get in trouble. But you keep whining about it, they'll tell you, go ahead. Now, the perfect will, that's the way God is with his perfect will. He has something so set aside for us, but no, I don't want that. Oh, I don't want him. Oh, he is so, oh, God, he is ugly. He is not cute at all. His feet are too big. I'm a foot person when it comes to a man, let you know right off the bat. I like a man's feet to look a certain way in his shoes. Well, that little tiny foot man may be the biggest devil in the world. So I had to learn how to let God choose.
That's right.
You know who I'm going to talk to, and me stop choosing wearing a. Oh, I don't like this shirt. I don't like the. Oh, his haircut. Oh my God, his ears are too big for that haircut. That's the way I used to be.
Absolutely. Now, Kay, you have had the physical suffering but it's been the same lessons. Do you want to say how, with what you've gone through, how you've had to learn that you can't take a step literally without God?
Oh, well, yeah, it's funny you say that, because that was today. You know what I say to my world, thank God, and I say it with reverence. I know sometimes God doesn't make any sense. And I have difficulty walking, not only because I have a slide onto my bone for arthritic knees, but now thing with my ankle, that if I move the wrong way, I mean, you hear an aria that, I mean, I screamed bloody murder. It was, Lord, did it have to be the ankle too? Okay, I can't take a sense of unbelievable. You can't take a step without you. I was a little uptight. I had to go to the dentist today, and if I didn't ride with a cab driver who told me that when you're a Christian, you never have to be sick, because God cannot live in a sick, can you imagine? And he thinks he helps, you know, people who are in his cab. Well, he didn't want to really hear what I had to say about that. But anyway, yes, and it's a blessing, because I am totally dependent on him. He's not only one, he's two, three, four, five. I mean, for just moving. But you
tell
know,
them the physical pain. Tell them the physical pain you live with too.
Well, I don't like to. I live with a lot. With, you know, I have an operable spinal tumor that's wrapped around my spine. Yeah, I live with a lot of, you know, a lot of pain. But my blessing was, because by the way, I was supposed to be dead or totally paralyzed. My prognosis was horrible. But you know what my was? I never asked why me, because I spent a lifetime asking why not me. As the train would go through Harlem and I would see the black people hanging out on pillows, mm-hmm. it was, God, why isn't that me? And that made all attitude. Mm-hmm. Barb mentioned it, and she's so right on. Attitude makes all the difference in the world. And when you can suffer and not love him less, and you know you're loving him just for who he is, not for what he gives you. And even if it's not that, forgive me, I don't swear, but damnable prosperity message, even if they emphasize the victory, you have to be careful, because it's always about you getting something. They go after Jesus because, you know, they want something. But it's who he is, and I see in a minute. And I just came across today, sharing the fellowship of Jesus' sufferings. When you get to the point where you really only want to please him, you want to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, you know you can't be conformed without suffering. And this is beautiful. I just came across it, and I'll read it quickly. What does it mean to know the fellowship of Jesus' sufferings? It is to see with the eyes of God, hear with the ears of God, and feel with the heart of God. It is to see churches or denominations or institutions from which the glory of God has departed, as God himself sees them, boneyards, whitewashed sepulchres. It is to hear the heart cry of the wandering, perishing souls of the walking dead. It is to put your ear to the door of hell. It is to feel God's grief and to mourn with him for the twisted, deformed race, so unlike its maker, in whose image it was originally created. It is to weep and pray and fast and travail for those who have been robbed and plundered by Satan, and to say, restore. This is what it means to know the fellowship of suffering. And when hell becomes real, hell is a lot. My greatest agony, you certainly, you know, when you're emotionally involved with somebody, you love somebody, but the thought of somebody spending an eternity in hell, that's unbearable for me.
Kay, you and Barb, let me ask you a question, because we have like 1 minute. Didn't this time go fast? We've got 1 minute. Let me ask you this. Next week, do you want to do the Mystery of Suffering Part 2?
Yeah, sure.
I think so. There's a great depth to this subject.
Yes. Okay. I tell you what, we have less than a minute. So I'm going to say I love you all, and feel my hug and feel my kisses on you. And we're going to set this up for next week and do the Mystery of Suffering Part 2, because there is a lot more that needs to be told. And I want to thank everybody for being here. My studio audience, and they listen. They always say, we're just listening. But anyway.
Is it time to ask people if they have suffering to somehow communicate with you? Any questions or anything that we could say, things that might help them?
Yeah. We're going to do that next week, okay? Because we'll have time. Because right now we have like two seconds.
Okay.
But anyway, okay. I love you, and I'm going to be communicating. I'm going to send the new part two program out, and we're going to set it up for next week. So just get everything together. Stay prayerful. Thank you for that prayer, Bob, at the beginning. Okay? And you guys, I just love you. And
we love
you. We're going to be talking to you later on. And this is the host of Let's Talk Truth, along with her co-host and her special guest today. And we're going to say we're loving you with the heart of God. And we're going to say good night.
Good night, Lord.
Good night.